1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Kieran, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You're asking the question. Everyone's saying resign, but we have the Garda's a statement of the former Garda Commissioner Martin Callaghan, and obviously when he wrote the statement, he was the Garda Commissioner early this morning. And he says, I have, in the opening line, is in the best interest of a Garda Síochána and my family, I have decided to retire.
Yes, yes, Joe, that's my point. And that's what I heard on Sean O'Rourke this morning. Now, as any public servant, retired or otherwise, will tell you, that there is a procedure for retiring in the public service. You make a request to retire, you submit it to the HR and so on, and they generally request a period of maybe up to 3 months, generally about 6 weeks or so. They make out your conditions, send them back to you, you have a look at them, and then you retire. In other words, there's an orderly procedure.
So
if the commissioner, assume he was at work yesterday, comes in this morning and says that he is no longer there, or no longer wishes to continue, that by anyone's understanding is resignation.
But you're hovering on one word again, just as his retirement, to use his own phrase.
Well, the commissioner was actually making the distinction. He was insisting that he had retired. That's according to Sean O'Rourke this morning.
Well, the statement says, and it was,
I have decided to retire.
Okay, yes. But you say what the former commissioner should have written was, I've decided to resign.
Well, what he has done effectively is resign, whatever he says he would wish to do. You know, he has resigned. He was working yesterday. He's not working today. That's resign. Now, he would, but like anybody at the end of a pretty, obviously, what was a distinguished career, he would like to retire in the normal way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the impression he's given. But what has happened, you know, it's semantic, but there is, I'm sure it won't affect any of his conditions or anything because he has all his time done and all the rest. But it is just that it was a minute.
Okay, you're annoyed, but I'll stay there for a sec here.
No, I wouldn't even say I'm annoyed, but I'm just saying.
But you're a retired civil servant.
I am, yes.
You didn't resign.
Oh, no, that's my point. There is a procedure, you go through it.
Okay, stay there for a sec here. On 51551, yes. Harry Lamb, good afternoon, Harry.
Hello, Joe.
Former Garda, you think Alan Shatter should resign or retire?
Yes.
Why?
Well, he has had this lingering over him for the last number of months, the same as Martin Callaghan has had on his desk. Mr. Shatter has known about the circumstances, and I think it's a shame today that we see a man like Martin Callaghan, who came up through the ranks with the former investigation and CAB, with Faulkner Murphy, Tony Hickey, Martin Donlan, Brian Sherry, Jerry O'Carroll, Detective Vincent Hanley, all that gang, all those people have retired now.
Mm-hmm.
And it forces us a complete loss with those major men. Tony Hickey, who should have been a commissioner, one of the greatest investigators of all time, and let go like that, and they were snapped up the next day by private companies. The force has fallen apart. The morale is falling apart.
And what do you think of Gardaí? I know you're retired.
I have.
You didn't resign.
The man that was on there before you is wrong too in the civil service. You don't have to give 6 months' notice or 3 months' notice. Martin Callaghan was asked to stay on.
Okay, because of
he
that.
He could have retired.
That complication. Okay, stay. But
when I retired, or I gave notice on Tuesday, and I was gone on Friday.
Okay.
It's a sad day to see that Martin Callaghan, a decent man, has to step down because, like other great commissioners, Paddy McLaughlin in my time in the 80s, had to step down, a great policeman, a great investigator, and Ned Garvey, another great man with a great vision, had to step down because of Jerry Cullinan wants him to do.
Well, we won't go into the ins and outs of that. I wasn't alerted to the fact you were going to say that. Now I don't have Wi-Fi in my studio. I can't look back and see what Jerry Cullinan said 20 years ago or whatever. Harry, leave that aside for one stage and for one point. And well, I'd apologise to Jerry Cullinan in advance if I have to, because I don't know the ins and outs of that. No, but Harry, don't go back into it. What I want to ask you is, why do you think Martin Callanan did retire, to use his own words? Who's to blame?
Well, the start of it all was to blame, I suppose. The whole thing started off with the announcement of the whistleblowers. That was the start of it.
The penalty points.
But the whistleblowers, from what my knowledge of it, I listen to the radio, I haven't been in touch with many of the police, but that these people, I feel sorry for them. By the way, that man's not well, I believe, now. I'm very sorry to hear that. The man who's retired. Mr. Wilson, is it?
Yeah, he was on this morning and he was very gracious. Stay there for a sec, Harry. Walter Kilcullen's on the line. Walter, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Former Garda as well, and retired recently. Did Martin Callanan retire or resign? What's your understanding, Walter? Just as from outside now, I suppose, as a retired member yourself, did he retire or resign?
Well, Joe, first of all, I'm glad your researcher rang me there about 1 o'clock to come on your show, because I had an issue with that. I feel the media have been on a frenzy. It's something like ping pong. Mm-hmm. And Martin Callan issued a statement that he retired in the best interest of An Garda Síochána and his family. Now, I retired on the 31st December and I gave 3 months notice. That was a statutory kind of 3 months notice. I could have given less. But I take it Martin has a lot of annual leave that he hasn't taken. And I'm sure that he is not gone with immediate effect.
That's a good point.
That's my understanding of it. And the media all of the day are saying that he resigned. Martin Callanan could have, like me, I could have retired 11 years ago. I did 41 years, and Martin would have close on that as well. He joined shortly after me. And in fact, I think he got promoted on the same sergeant list back in 86. So I know Martin Callanan over 40 years. And the government asked him to wait on, and they extended his term of office by 2 years. Martin would have reached the retirement age some 15 months ago, or maybe less.
But he was due to officially retire. But he was due to officially go, Walter, in August 12 months. Isn't that correct?
That's right, yes. And he would have normally gone over a year ago. He'd have retired before I did. I would have had to retire in February when I reached the statutory retirement age limit. I retired about 6 weeks before my time. But when I had to go, but Martin got the extension. So I understand he retired. There's a lot of confusion over that.
Either way, he's gone before he had planned.
Either way, he's gone, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
But who do you think is to blame?
I don't know. There has been, as I said, it's like ping pong. There's been a media frenzy in this. This is going back a long time. And he's kind of been targeted all along. I think I said to a researcher, and it was something I just thought of as she rang me, that police and politics don't mix well. In fact, in this case, they became a lethal cocktail. And it's a bad mixture. And just when I have the opportunity, I was involved for over 27 years in Association of Garda Sergeant Inspectors, and I was on the National Executive as Treasurer when I retired there at the 31st December. But years ago, I was in a great branch in South Central, and I was the chairman of that branch for about 13 years. And we brought two motions to our annual conference, the AGSI conference, which is taking place now this year in Easter, as it normally does. And one was to have a police ombudsman, like the army have, and the other one was to have a police authority. And that was a motion that came from my former branch in South Central. I have a lot of colleagues still in that branch, and it's a branch that all has had good motions at conference. And that was the feeling of AGSI way back, years ago, you know. So
you mentioned the interface between the commissioner and politics, and the big change this time, I suppose, was we've seen at other levels about road safety, but this is the first time, I think, that we've actually seen a Garda commissioner come in and being asked by the 13 members of the Public Accounts Committee, sitting in front of them for 5 or 6 hours, all of them given a chance to ask questions of him. Do you think that would have been difficult for him? Even the whole idea of it.
Yeah, that would have been difficult. Martin was, most of his career was a detective, like I was, and I would have experienced it, given evidence in the highest courts in the land, and even outside the jurisdiction I gave evidence, and so did Martin. And I'm aware Martin was in the US as well, and he'd be well able for that. But going in before politicians with all different agendas and before the PSC is something I wouldn't relish going in before. And for Martin in there for a number of hours, you're probably going to ask me about using the word. You know, he's a fairly good golfer. I'm sure he hits a bad golf ball and hits a bad shot. He probably used the wrong word, but when it was out there, it was out there. And it's rather difficult to retract these things. You know, he did clarify what he said.
Yeah, but
and he was left no in situation later on what to do. You know, it's a very awkward and it's a very lonesome place. Being in the pack there, it's a witness box in anywhere where is a very, very lonesome place. The witness box in the Central Criminal Court or the Special Criminal Court, where I gave evidence and Martin Callan gave evidence and was there for long, long hours, is quite a different place than before the pack. I'm sure it is, because we get some training in court procedure, not that very much, but you gain it by experience from the small courts up to the higher courts. But going in there first time, in before that committee, which is a relatively new thing, and it's a new thing, police going in there before it, is a very daunting task.
He did and, he did over 5 hours.
He did a long time, yes. It's a long, long time, yeah.
Well, you know Martin Callan, how do you think he would have reacted to the idea of being called in to be questioned by Paul Connacht and John Deasy, Patrick Donoghue, I don't think he was there the day, he's now a junior minister, Robert Dowd, Sean Fleming, Simon Harris, Mary Lou MacDonald, John McGuinness, Owen Murphy, Jared Nash, Derek Nolan, Kieran O'Donnell and Shane Ross. That's a formidable rugby team to have against you.
That's a formidable rugby team to have against you. Formidable below in the courts, where you have free legal aid and top criminals and maybe five of them up and each of them having a junior or senior counsel. You could have five barristers cross-examine you. And I can say Martin Callan will be well used to that.
No, well, then, so
from
we should...
That, from that end of it, but it's a different thing, I'm saying, going in before a PSC, quite a different thing.
Why?
With all the people having different... It's different and it's very public. It's like... It's like the first time you ride a bicycle, you could fall off it. It was a new thing, and your hit was just straight away. You're in there with no experience of it. But I know Martin is very competent. He is a very competent person. And to reach the rank of commissioner, you have to have possessed those competencies, and he has them in abundance. But he spoke his mind, probably. He probably he spoke what he felt. That's probably what happened. He wore his heart on his sleeve, and he spoke what he felt, and that's the... That's the end of it.
And do you think that word disgusting was the doing of him?
Well, it didn't help, I'm sure. You know, it didn't help. It didn't help.
Doing of him.
And why didn't he... Who's that?
I don't know. I said that the whole thing is the closeness between the Department of Justice and senior management in Agatha Shihana. It's, as I said, it's not good. I don't think it's good. And I did over 41 years. I think police officers keep their distance from politics. After they retire, get involved in politics as much as you want, but when you're a servant police officer, keep your distance, because you have to be impartial, and it's very hard to be impartial if politicians keep you too close to them. You know?
This is the word of that Martin Callan used.
Here we have two people out of a force of over 13,000 who are making extraordinarily serious allegations. And there isn't a whisper anywhere else from any other member of the Garda Síochána about this corruption, this malpractice, and all of those things that are levelled against their fellow officers. I think it's quite disgusting.
Isn't the problem there, Walter, that apart from the use of the word, which is a pretty heavy word to use, but isn't the problem that Martin Callan and the Garda Commissioner, who's appointed by the government, i.e. the representatives of the people, it's not a meritocratic job. You don't automatically get it. You're not interviewed for it per se. It's a government, a political appointment at that level. Is the problem not in the whole tone and context of what the Garda Commissioner was saying? Is that he sounded like, Walter, a representative of a trade union for the Garda Síochána? Do you follow me?
I don't think so.
No, that he should have been saying, hang on, I am the Garda Commissioner. I am appointed on behalf of the people, not the Gardaí, on behalf of the people to run the Garda Síochána. So if I hear of wrongdoing, within those ranks, I should be, on behalf of the people, concerned. And that even in his tone there and his use of language, he was very... Now, maybe, Sushil, that's the way Garda commissioners always have been, have always been. But did he forget the fact that he was appointed by the people of Ireland to run the Garda Síochána, but also to run it on their behalf, not the Garda Síochána's behalf, but the Irish people's behalf?
Well, I'm sure he did, Joe. I can't say, and you can't say, that what Martin Callanan was thinking or what is... We're all individuals, and we all react differently to things, you know. So I just can't say, Joe.
Okay, Kieran.
Before you go, Joe... Can I just say something else, Joe?
Yes, of course, Walter. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a pity the way that in this state with the army and Garda Síochána, we have lost colleagues and lost lives, and how you go from hero to zero in such a short time. We had the troubles in this country. I joined the Garda Síochána in 1972 when the troubles were starting off, and I served there until a few months ago. And I lost, and Martin Callanan, we did the slow march many a time, and I marched with Martin in Dundalk only there February 12 months for Adrian Donoghue, marched behind his coffin. And people have short memories, and the media have short memories. Callanan did great work in fighting the real IRA, who were a big threat to the security of the state and the peace process, you know, and him and his colleagues. And, good work has been done. People have short memories, very short memories, I'm sorry to say. And I'm very annoyed over this, Joe.
And Walter, that's the second question then from that. Do you think the reputation of the Gardaí has been damaged in the last 5 months?
Not by Garda Síochána. No, I don't think so.
Do you think there would...
We have given too much down the years. When you give lives, there's not many organisations out there beside the army and ourselves that lay our lives on the line. And we do lay our lives on the line. And our families suffer for it. And there's a lot of families suffering at the moment. The John Wilson's family are suffering, the Morris McCabe's family are suffering, and Martin Callanan's family are suffering. You know, people should remember the families too.
And Walter, was there widespread turning of the eye, so to speak, on penalty points, which is the topic that seemed to get most traction in all of this? Was there widespread discretion and misuse and abuse, do you think?
I don't know, and I'm not going to say very much on it because there's another investigation going on, Joe, at the moment. So many investigations going on. I often think of that saying I heard it years ago, and I asked what it meant when I was a young guard: "Qui custodiat custodes," and it was who polices the police. And at that time, you police yourself. Now there's so many groups policing the police; it's nearly gone the other way. You know, we're over police now. If you have one proper body, a policing authority. Would be the correct avenue to go with all these groups, police and the police, like, where are you, you know?
Okay, let me bring you... Stay there if you can, Walter, for a second. Kieran is in Wexford. Kieran, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks very much for taking the call.
And thanks for making the call. Now, what do you think of the retirement stroke resignation of Martin Callanan?
I think it's unfortunate, Joe, that anybody would have to retire or step down from the job. But people are taking their eye off the ball regardless of all this starting up. If the law of the land was applied to every citizen in the land across the board, as it should be, we wouldn't be talking about this situation today.
And you're saying there should have been no discretion whatsoever when it came to...
When we have politicians going to Dáil Éireann that can get penalty points wiped out, and dropping Dáil Éireann wanting this man's head, that they should think long and hard before they make a statement like that in Dáil Éireann. Because the law of the land applies equally to every citizen, no matter who you are. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. And if your penalty points are there, you should get your penalty points.
And who do you blame for Martin Callanan's early demise from his job?
There's a lot of political points going on at the moment, Joe. But they all have to sit down and look at themselves.
Well, what do you think of Alan Shatter's position?
Well, the top man will always look after himself, Joe. There'll always be a fall guy. And unfortunately, I think Martin Callanan is the fall guy.
Yeah, but I thought Enda Kenny is the top guy.
Yeah, well, sure. Enda is telling his politicians not to be voicing their opinion. And yet they're elected by the people.
They pretty much ignored him, didn't they? The cabinet, well, most of the cabinet did anyway. The Labour members.
I think Labour is fighting for survival at the moment, and that's why they're voicing now, because the elections are coming up in May, and I think they're trying to get a hike up the ladder.
Okay, Kieran, final swing at this. Do you think Martin Callanan was treated unfairly?
Personally, no. If the law of the land had been applied, we wouldn't be talking about this situation, Joe.
Harry,
can I just say one more thing, Joe? Yeah. I think it's unfortunate that the two Gardaí that came with this, are being called whistleblowers. They stood up and spoke the truth, and it took a long time to come out.
OK. Harry Lamb, briefly, do you think Martin Callanan has been treated unfairly?
I do, Joe.
OK. Walter Kilcullen, do you think...
Penalty points and squaring. In the old days, there wasn't penalty. There was penalty points. There were sumses, and in the old days, there were sumses squared left, right, and centre by everyone who knew it, and anyone who rang up. Joe Duffy, a friend of mine, had to get the summons for an old Texas car, three baldy tyres. Ah, that's okay. So tell Joe not about to go to court. I'll get the probation act for him. Tell him not about to go to court. That's the way it was done.
You said there was always a lot of that, even when you were there.
It was done, not done maliciously. It was done as a more or less community working with the public. Like, fellas getting ordinary sums. I'm not talking about hit and runs and drink driving.
But
ordinary sums. A fella coming up the road, and you were supposed to be in so many sums as a month in the early days of the 60s. And I'd be on the Swords Road, and now lorry coming up from the market, a banger of a lorry with a trailer with no taillights, no stoplights, no this, no that, no tax, three baldy tyres, and they get about 12 sums off the one lorry for the owner and the driver. And then they get a call then from some fellow out in Skerry's and those, hey, Harry, I used to play football with Parnell at the time, and you get a call from some fellow out in Lusk or Skerry's station, Garda station, Harry, you brought in the fellow there and then Joe Duffy there, driving an old tractor and an old trailer. He's a good old lad, he's very good with the community out here, does a lot of work for the GA, the grounds, and cuts the grass and all this. I said, that's no problem, sir. It's all right. Tell him not to bother going to court. I'll get the summons withdrawn.
We'll square it for him. Okay, Teresa. Yeah. Teresa's in Kildare. 51551. Teresa.
Hello, Joe.
Okay, Teresa, if you can stay there, I'll take a break and gather your breath. 51551.
Okay. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Teresa's in Kildare. Teresa, you believe Martin Callanan was right to resign?
I do, Joe, because I'm not saying the man was wrong in his job, but to me, he really vilified those two Garda. And to me, like, if he had said he was sorry for using those words, it probably wouldn't have come to this. But the fact that he wouldn't say he was sorry, he wouldn't say he was wrong to call them disgusting, you know, I just feel like...
And what about the Minister for Justice, who said that the... I'm sure he'll argue at some stage he was told this, but he did say in the Dáil, and he hasn't taken the opportunity to resile or take it back from, he said that the whistleblowers didn't cooperate with the Garda investigation. What do you think the Minister for Justice should do?
Well, I think he should go as well.
Why?
Because he can't be trusted. You know, if he's, you know, by all accounts, that's a lie, because there was other people saying that they weren't even contacted. So they weren't even asked.
Morris McCabe was saying that, yeah. He wasn't formally asked. So you're adamant
so,
that...
So why would the minister say they wouldn't cooperate when they weren't even asked?
And do you think the minister should have taken an early opportunity to clarify that at least?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. James Cook is in Roscommon, Teresa. 51551. James, good afternoon.
Yes, Joe. Joe, I was listening on there during the day as the programme went on, talking about Martin Callanan having to retire or resign. But he did retire, and the reason he retired was because of the penalty points and all the debacle that went on. And there's no point people coming on and saying, well, he was 5 hours in front of the Public Accounts Committee and blah, blah, blah. Times have changed, Joe. The Gardaí are now accountable for every move they make, the same as we are if we go looking to get penalty points dumped. The days are over now. We now are held accountable by everybody. And the next step has to be for Minister Shatter, who is involved, who appoints the commissioner, who accepts his resignation or his retirement. And he too has to go, because he's like a third or fourth member of the Gardaí. He's in charge of how the Gardaí perform and accepts all the judgment and the whole lot. So he too must resign, Joe.
And he's also in charge of the army. Well, not in charge of the army. He's also Minister for Defence.
Yeah.
So, but James, what about Harry Lamb's point Which is, now I know he was making a wider context, but he is that the Gardaí in Ireland are part of the community. And when, if something happens, that's not a crime that hurts people. Bear with me on this one. I'm paraphrasing Harry. And his line was, if somebody rings and said he's in the GAA, he cuts the grass for the local community hall. If he loses his licence, he'd be in trouble. He wasn't drinking. It was just a stupid thing over his tax and his back tyres. And Harry said they would square it. Yeah. Under the new dispensation, the new world we live in, you're saying there should be, and others have said it just before, there should be no discretion.
No, but Joe, you see, that's the point I'm trying to make, Joe. Times have changed. The community guard has gone. I don't know any guard in Roscommon. I knew them all when they retired. I know lots of guards that have retired. The new guards that we have that come into Roscommon, they rent a house, then they leave 6 months later to Galway or Limerick or somewhere like that. So the community policing was actually taken away from us. There is no guard that walks around Roscommon town that I can say, hello, Tom, or hello, Mick. So that's gone. So Harry Land's point is totally wrong there. That day is over. There, as far as I'm concerned, and plus we don't have half the amount of police station that we had, so we don't see a guard going in and out of a police station that we can get things squared up, as Harry said with him.
And do you know anyone in the force, James?
No, I do, of course. Yes.
Okay, what's their reaction?
Well, their reaction would be, it would probably be a bit harder for them because they're members of the force and they're not going to say anything. And
yeah, I know
some of them are very good friends of mine. I was a ministerial driver for years and I got to know a lot of these Gardaí. But when they're taken out of, you know, out of traffic and all that, then it seems to be a different type of guard, a nicer type of guard. And I always said that these guards that had retired should be used to train the new force, to let them know how they worked and how they worked day to day, instead of just throwing in young lads that don't know anything. I think experience is a wonderful thing in any job, Joe. And that's where we're losing. We're losing time. We have no community-based Gardaí around that you can come on and Minister Shatter can come on and say, yes, we have. I'm driving a van here, or I leave a van in Roscommon or a van here. I think it was either Galway or Mayo or somebody had to borrow a van there a couple of weeks ago.
But it's interesting, every caller we've had on since 2:45, it's now 14 minutes past two, every caller has said, among other things, that Alan Shatter should resign too.
But there's no doubt about it, Joe. He is connected with the commissioner, not connected in any black way that people might think.
Yeah, but he didn't go into the Public Accounts Committee and call the behaviour of the two members of the force disgusting. He and again, I presume this will be his argument, he went into the Dáil and was told he would say, though the evidence is different since, and he hasn't contradicted
and
it,
also
but
said,
he would say, I was told they didn't cooperate, you know, well, I couldn't go down and find out whether they did or not. I only say what I was told by people who know.
Well, the funny thing about it is, Joe, he can say what he wants
to
say.
I was told about Mick Wallace's using the phone in Ballybock.
Exactly, Joe. Where did that information come from? Like, that's information, no matter whether Mick Wallace is public eye or not, that information was totally private and confidential. And there's no doubt in my mind, I'm very surprised that night on, I think it was Frontline at the time, that wasn't cleared up by Mick Wallace and followed up more thorough. And I'm not taking
in fairness, Mick did follow it up.
Yeah, but you know, it just got buried again like everything else. I can't understand how you can have one side, you can, oh, hello, Mick, we heard you done this or you done that, and then say, well, they didn't cooperate. The commissioner says they're disgusting, so he has to answer for something. But the minister, who is the minister of our justice that appoints our commissioners, doesn't have to say anything. It just doesn't add up, Joe.
But Walter Kilcullen, was it not always the case that the minister for justice would have to be, because of his job and the trust that needed and the importance of the Garda commissioner's job, would have to be close to a Garda commissioner, and they would have to have a bit of the ability and telepathy and tic-tacking and understand each other and what their agendas were. Is that not a prerequisite for the relationship?
Unfortunately, Joe, it is. As I said, police and politics are a bad mixture, and that's why GSI a number of years ago called for a police authority. And I think it's timely now that it's been taken on board, maybe a little late, but at least it's been taken on board. But I've heard your previous caller there, the gentleman from Roscommon.
James Cook,
Yeah, a lot of things he said, and I felt the time when Alan Shatter had won the battle that night where he bought in the thing about Mick Wallace, yeah. to Mick Wallace being caught, which was a bad move. It was a bad choice of words, and I think it ignited a lot of what's happening now. But something else I want to go back to, this thing about...
And you're saying, just to clarify that, but you're saying that the minister was winning the argument that night.
Yes, he was. I watched
He threw
in this, which was needless, I felt. Yeah, I thought it was bad. It was a bit immature of him, I must say. I want to say that. I don't mind saying it. I felt he had won it, and it was like immature throwing it. I know this bit too, you know. Yeah. A bit of useless information thrown in there, which has come back to haunt a lot of people. It's come back, and we're talking about it now again. You're on about discretion, and the great fear I have, and after doing 41 years, and I spent 21 and a half years of that in the south inner city, in a wonderful district, in their district, covering Kevin Street and Kilmainham. And I can tell you, Joe, I use discretion there quite a bit and use common sense. And I often fixed up people who are caught in pubs after hours and different things like that. Simple, not criminal things. Mm. But those same people came back to me and helped me when the detective unit there and the whole team in the districts were trying to investigate serious crimes, and especially murder, gangland murder. Those are the very people who helped us put away serious criminals.
Because they trust...
So if I fix Joe Duffy up for being caught in a pub after hours, that is wrong. I think if we go down that road... I don't want to live in this country anymore.
But that's the road.
That's the road we're heading down.
That's the road we're
heading. Robotic police force is a disaster. I know from experience, I can talk that hand in heart, that I fixed up people with little things. Some of them weren't that serious, but to the people concerned, they were very serious. You know, keeping their name off the paper or something like that. Those same people came back to us, came into me, and gave me something which solved a very serious crime and often saved lives. Mm-hmm. So you have to think of that. The things police do, the things Martin Callanan did that he can never tell anyone, the things I did I can't tell anyone. But I know, hand in my heart, that they save lives and different. And my colleagues are the same. All my colleagues are the same. But if you take that away, you're as well to put out robots there. Finish the recruitment for more. Manufacture robots in them. That's what you're going to up with. And I don't want my children live in a country like that.
Does an independent policing board not mean an independent policing board appointed by politicians? Like, who's going to appoint the independent policing board?
That's a good question, Joe. That's a good question. I don't know. That all has to be looked at.
What would Martin Callanan's disposition have been going into that committee of the 13 politicians? Like, first of all, he lives in Ireland, so he knows them all. Would he have a predisposition? There's Fine Gael, Labour, Sinn Féin, and one independent on it. Like, would he say, well, I've seen your man or your woman in the paper or on the radio or whatever, and I don't like them, and I'm not going to sit here and let them... this is my supposition, let them demean me after me giving 41 years in the force, and using your own phrase there, Walter, being in life-threatening situations and being in situations where I knew I had to make a split-second decision which would come back and save lives later on. Would Martin Callanan have said, this is beneath me? And who did these people think they are?
Oh, Joe, I can't speak for Martin, but I know that. I know where he's coming from, because I've been down in the courts in major trials, and senior counsel are very good at that, making you feel small and demeaning you. Mm-hmm. And you learn there how to handle people, and I'm sure Martin has that experience too, that he wouldn't be ruffled and he'd treat everyone equally, irrespective of what party they were. Yep. And you have to do that, because these, in fairness, they are elected politicians, elected by the people. And we serve the people, and we have to remember that at all times.
Okay. Maybe Joe Hurley is there as well. Stay there, Walter. 51551. Joe Hurley is a retired Garda traffic corps, among other things. Joe, good afternoon.
Thanks, Joe, for having me on.
And thanks for being. This whole issue now of discretion. This has put an end to discretion, hasn't it?
Well, Joe, I joined the traffic in October. It was formed the traffic corps in 1973, and I was there till I retired in 1986. And the position we got as regard to speeding was, I send returns every month under two headings, mm-hmm. prosecutions, cautions. And I had a lot more cautions than summonses. And I started issuing summonses from 37 miles up, 47 miles, 67. I guarantee you, that's the way we operated. And it went on every month
Okay, you're saying anyone who broke a 30 limit, not a 31, if they got a 37, 38, you would prosecute.
No, they know the van that's doing the speed limit.
Yes,
I know a friend of mine, a pensioner, 63 miles an hour on the Tramore Road, in the morning early, and he 63 miles an hour. He got the penalty.
Okay, so Joe, which
that,
so
that
so
does nothing for road safety, Joe.
Okay, so it does nothing for road safety. That's your argument. But Joe, what is your belief of what will happen now that there is this, people say, transparency, but it also means no discretion.
Pardon?
If this discretion is to go, or argue now, this is the end of it today, what will it mean for the relationship between the citizens and the Gardaí?
Well, it shouldn't go. I'm retired 28 years, and I meet loads of people saying to me, you left me off this time at that time, you know, and they appreciate it so much because, especially women, they might have children in the car and they'd be all upset that they were caught for speeding, you know, Joe.
And what about, you're saying your experience, not yourself directly, but obviously through friends or whatever, of the current scenario, is that you're done for 31 in a 30-mile-an-hour, you're done...
That's what I'm saying, Joe. And Joe, that's the way I did my job here in Waterford, but I must be doing it too well because a deputation went in to transfer me out of Waterford. And the next thing, I was called in, you're going to Limerick, because the next thing, lucky for me... The man, a young sergeant after getting promoted, said, oh, I'd love to go to Limerick, so they had to give it him. When that failed, Joe, the next thing, my commissioner was notified, take Sergeant Hurley off the traffic in Waterford. And I had, God be good to the commissioner, he never knew me, but I met him in Dublin at a presentation, and when he found out who I was, he told me, he said, they wanted me to take you off the traffic in Waterford, and I wouldn't do it for him.
But you say it's gone to the other extreme now, and that there's no discretion.
That's what I'm saying, Joe. I mean, those people that are getting the penalties, they're in an awful state, and you know.
And would people still be, if you were driving to a hospital and you went over the speed limit and you could prove that you were in a hurry to a hospital, would people nowadays be penalised?
Sure, I don't know, Joe. Did you see the case down in Clare when the man couldn't tell the judge? He couldn't tell the judge how much is over the limit of people getting prosecuted. He couldn't tell the judge.
Okay. Do you think Alan Shatter should resign?
Oh God, that's up to him, Joe. Okay. The man says long ago, the man at the top always stays put.
Okay, Joseph Hurley, Harry Lamb, Walter Kilcullen, thanks for coming. All great servants of the state. 51551. Let me bring Kieran in. Kieran, a former Garda as well. On the demise from his job of Martin Callanan. Kieran, do you think the commissioner was right to retire / resign?
Well, I feel sympathy for Martin Callanan. I knew him in my early days, and an excellent detective, a wonderful policeman, great supervisor, and I think with the pressure that was mounting in political circles and from newspapers and media, put him in a position where he had to consider, for the sake of his family, as he said, to retire.
And who do you blame?
Well, I think that the complete set of circumstances and all the parties involved led him to take up and consider his position. After so many years of dedicated service, you know, I sympathise with the man, as I do with the other parties involved.
But you sound like you sound like you're sore over what happened, Martin Callanan.
No, Joe, I'm not sore. I'm not sore at all, because just a fact of life, and you have to take a balanced overview of all these things.
So is today, Kieran, a watershed in not in the police force, but in policing, in the way the country will be policed, that it will be much more now by the book?
I think it is, Joe. But a previous speaker there with you, whom I know well, Walter, and whom I worked with him as a sergeant in the South Central Division, our organisation of ACSI, we have called many times for the establishment of a police authority, and that was not given any favourable consideration, you know. As regards resignation and...
Kieran, the way it's been portrayed, and let people judge this themselves, but the way it's been portrayed is that the discretion had got out of hand and had gone from discretion to corruption. Isn't that the frame over the last 5 months?
Well, corruption, we were always told about corruption in the Guards, and that was the thing that was a sackable offence and a tribal offence in the court. But the people... there was always a discretion you were in the guards. You were told you could prosecute people if necessary, but you weren't not to persecute them. What's going to happen now is there'll be zero tolerance in every area and people will be persecuted. You know, there was nothing wrong with exercising a caution so long as you recorded it and reported it. And that was always the case for what was known as summary offences, mainly road traffic offences. And if you caught a man with tax in his car, for example, that was 6 months out, and you told him to present it the following week with the tax paid and back taxed, there was no loss to revenue. There was nothing wrong with that. He didn't go to court, and the family honour was maintained, especially down the country. Their names didn't appear on the paper. Things like that. There was a petition system whereby if you were fined a considerable amount of money in the courts, you could petition the Minister for Justice, which went back to the guards for consideration. And certain recommendations, or nay or yea, were made. And a lot of these times, the fines were mitigated.
And would you ever get, would you ever, Kieran, have got representations through TDs?
Oh, of course. The petition system was rampant with representation.
And what would they be saying?
They were saying, this is a constituent of mine. He's a respectable person. He contributes enormously to the community. No convictions. And I feel that due consideration should be given to this. That was matter of fact. That was normal course of events. You know, that was part of his job. Or her job. You know, that went on all the time. If you go to the courts today even, penalty points are scrubbed by the judges. But of course, in the courts, politicians cannot interfere with judges or make any comments because it's at variance with the doctrine of the separation of powers in the Constitution. You have a good chance, if you're presenting court with a good case, to get your penalty points scrubbed, more or less, by legal procedure. So that is the position of what was going on in the guards. They had a certain amount of discretion. It is established now that discretion has gone out of balance, so to speak. There's too much of it going on for the same people, but I haven't seen any stats on that.
Yeah. And I just see, I've apparently now in the Dáil, this is according to Twitter, the Taoiseach has asked to meet Gerry Adams and Micheál Martin. And but more importantly, I suppose, in terms of the TDs and their own upset, I see a number of TDs tweeting that the Fine Gael TD, Nicky McFadden, who was very highly regarded, she has died, as you know, probably she had a motor neuron disease, that awful, awful disease. But Nicky McFadden has passed away. And Kieran, terrible young woman. Kieran, in terms of Alan Shatter, what do you think he should do?
Well, I have been reared on the proviso that you didn't make any comments about politicians, and I still feel the same. But Alan Shatter is also the Minister for Defence, as well as being the Minister for Justice, and obviously. The commissioner, he was the fall guy, so to speak. And I think that over a difference in euphemisms that he was using, you know, I feel that maybe a better choice of use of euphemistic words in the words he used may have been better. But Alan Shatter now is the Minister for Justice. He's one of the highest offices of the state. He is doing a good job. So I think that's a matter that will, for the Taoiseach, you know, to consider all those things and the government as a whole.
See, and I see now the Irish Times are reporting that a government statement is expected on the Garda controversy this afternoon after the Taoiseach Enda Kenny was made aware of shocking new allegations concerning the Gardaí. It is understood that the new details include a recording of conversations. The government was informed of the details at its meeting this morning and a comprehensive statement is currently being drafted. The Taoiseach is meeting the opposition leaders, Fianna Fáil, Micheál Martin and Sinn Féin, Gerry Adams, to brief them on the allegations. So this isn't going to go away, is it?
Oh, well, it's not going to go away. There's 13,000 plus people in the police force, as there is in every other occupation, whether it be medical people, teachers, whatever, There is always, in every scenario, in every profession, a few rotten apples in the bottom of the barrel, which, you know, more or less implicates everybody then, you know. But this is more or less a cleansing process at the moment for our Garda Síochána, a wonderful force which has kept this state together since the foundation of the state, or helped to, in my opinion.
I just see a statement in from the government, Ciarán, and it says at its meeting today, the government considered a new and very serious issue relating to an Garda Síochána. The implications of this matter are potentially of such gravity that the government has decided to set up a statutory commission of investigation into this matter of significant public concern. It will be chaired by a senior serving or a retired member of the judiciary. In the context of ongoing legal proceedings in a particular case, the government has learned that a system was in place in a large number of Garda stations whereby incoming and outgoing telephone calls were taped and recorded. The government was informed of this new information at its meeting today. As the matter is before the courts, it's not appropriate to say to make any further comment. They say, from the information available, this is a government statement, from the information available, the practice of making recordings of incoming and outgoing telephone calls was in place for many years and was discontinued in November of 2013. It is not yet clear why this practice was in operation. Were you aware, as a former member, that all calls in and out of some...
I don't want to be flippant about it. In any Garda station, you were lucky if you had two lines coming in to deal with the public. And this thing about recording, I have never heard of anything like that at all. And I retired 15 years ago. And with the advent of new technology, maybe that could be done, but I'm not aware of any such thing. As regards setting up new bodies to investigate, there was always at least six tribunals in an Garda Síochána to examine a wrongdoing. One was the disciplinary regulations. The other was the complaints board. The other was the commissioner. Mm-hmm. The other was the minister for justice. The district court criminal, the district court civil, and then the Garda inspectorate of late. And now the ombudsman. Before the advent of the ombudsman, those positions existed. And it was a very exacting procedure for taking out wrongdoers, which they always did.
The government, I'll just give you a bit more from this statement that you react to this, Ciarán, as a former member of the force. The government has also decided to agree to the retirement of Mr. Martin Callanan from the position of Commissioner of Garda. So he has retired and the government have allowed him to retire. The government thanked the Commissioner for his long and dedicated service to the state, and in accordance with the relevant provisions of the Garda Síochána Act 2005, Deputy Commissioner Noreen O'Sullivan has been appointed as Interim Garda Commissioner. But the sting of this new investigation, this new statutory commission of investigation, is that up to November 2013, there was a widespread practice whereby incoming and outgoing telephone calls were taped and recorded. Now, do you, I haven't had occasion to ring a Garda station, but I don't ever remember, you get it when you get bang, ring banks and the VHI, whatever, this call is being recorded for training purposes. Did that happen in the Garda, Ciarán?
I have never heard tell of that in my time. And as I've said before, I have spent 32 years in an Garda Síochána and subsequently 7.5 years in the civil service. And but the recording of incoming calls would be totally at variance with confidentiality and receiving same. So this is a new allegation.
But is the Garda, for example, is the Garda confidential line not recorded? It is, isn't it? Because by definition, it's recorded, isn't it? Because you're not talking to a person, you're leaving a message as such.
That's right, yes. Okay. But I've never heard tell of a practice for the sake of it, of doing a recording everything that's coming in, you know. That's a message system that you're talking about.
Well, they're saying the government has learned this morning that a system was in place in a large number of Garda stations whereby incoming and outgoing telephone calls were taped and recorded. The government was informed of this new information at its meeting today.
Well, I've never heard of... I'm at a loss because of the affliction of time since I've retired. I honestly can't say that I couldn't comment on that because I've never heard of it. And it never existed in my time, so to speak.
And what do you think of the government saying that Martin Callanan has retired? they've agreed to his retirement.
Yes, that goes back to your earlier discussion with various callers. Did he resign or did he retire? What one caller said, that you needed 3 months' notice. That was the usual procedure. You could retire at an hour's notice if you make a phone call to the appropriate people and sign your name on the bottom of an application. There was no absolute proviso that you'd have to give 3 months' notice or whatever. Mr. Cannon, as far as I'm concerned, has retired, and I wish him the best of luck.
But this is a... Today is a milestone for the Gardaí, isn't it, in terms of, one, the resignation. Well, one, the resignation. I know it's happened before with a number of commissioners, and there was one of them was about, ironically now, with this new information, it's not related, I'm sure, to the current commissioner in that sense, but one of the previous resignations of a Gardaí commissioner was over telephone bugging and ministers bugging each other and all that nonsense.
But I'm saying,
is today not a milestone? In the sense that, one, you have a Garda commissioner resigning, and this whole this issue of whistleblowing, discretion, allegations of corruption. And now we have this bombshell of a government statement saying that this matter are potentially of such gravity that the government has decided to set up a statutory commission of investigation into this matter of significant public concern, chaired by a senior serving or retired member of the judiciary. And the allegation is, the government has learned, it's not an allegation, the government has learned that a system was in place in a large number of Garda stations whereby incoming and outgoing telephone calls were taped and recorded.
Well, if that is the case, well then, in my opinion, Joe, that's welcome development.
Walter Kilcullen, you retired in December. Were you aware of this and the large number of Garda stations, incoming and outgoing telephone calls, were taped and recorded?
Joe, your research is just on my back here now, and I just heard it on the programme in between since I last spoke unaware of that, never heard of that, totally shocked by this.
Never heard a whisper of it.
Never heard a whisper of Joe.
And even in your job through the AGSI, did you ever hear any stories about it, Walter?
No.
The government has learned that the system was in place in a large number of Garda stations whereby incoming and outgoing telephone calls were taped and recorded.
No. Okay. That's totally news to me, and I'm just anxious to know where they were. On the stations I served, and I have no awareness of ever happening.
Okay. Well, that's the statement. But you say, Walter, you've never heard tell of it?
Never, in over 41 years, no.
And were you ever heard tell of anyone saying we should tape everyone coming in and out, even for evidential purposes?
No.
There was never a campaign?
This will be very difficult because a lot of, as I think we mentioned earlier, and I mentioned about discretion and talking to people and people giving information, like confidentiality is a huge part of the force I served in the Garda Síochána, and will continue to be, hopefully will continue to be. Confidentiality is what you depend on and be able to trust somebody. If you talk to yourself on conversation, I mean, safe, you wouldn't be saying very much. You might as well be on the Joe Duffy show.
The point is, March 25th, between the resignation and now this revelation, is a milestone in the history of the Garda, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
Thanks, Walter. Walter Kilcullen, former, retired only, 8 weeks ago.